B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to all in the Delaware Valley, besieged by another storm in the rains. Well, feels like we live in San Jose, Costa Rica, with all the tropical wetness coming down. Be careful on the roads. It's my morning warning. The morning warning. Be careful on the roads. It's bad. It's construction everywhere, and there's potholes everywhere, and there's rain everywhere. So just be careful. Watch yourself. So I don't want to bitch and moan all day long because, as they say, sports is back. Not sports are back. Sports is back. And I'm grateful. Then that's the extent of it. Because what transpired yesterday in a great sports day was continually worrisome about the Sixers and the Phillies for that matter. But the big story, obviously, is Ben Simmons and the knee. Sham Sharami said that the MRI is negative. That's true. I can back that up. And he's okay. So he's not going to play the next couple of games, because why would you play in the next couple of days? You don't need him for the next couple of games. You need him for the playoffs. But again, we saw a team very lackluster. We saw a team that didn't fit. We saw a team that really did not look good against a horrific Wizards team. Let me just reiterate that. That Wizards team, what you're watching, they have played three really bad teams. The Spurs, the Pacers, and the Pacers didn't have Brogdon and Sabonis. With Brogdon and Sabonis, they're pretty good, but without those two, they are hot dog meat. That's kind of what they are. They're not good. And then yesterday, that Wizards team is the worst of the three, with no credible NBA players. And they struggled. They had a okay first half, and then they fell asleep in the third quarter, and it was an ugly third quarter, and then Joel bailed them out. And basically, that's how the story went. But again, you have issues with Simmons, and being off the ball doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Brett is dying to play his shooters, dying to play a style that just does not befit this team. That's the crux of the issue, is that we know how they're built, right? They're built differently than every other team that has credible on-the-ball scorers and shooters, right? You know, the league is filled with guys that can score and create and shoot it. And they're all wings and guards. And the Sixers don't have that, right? They have very limited creators, shot creators, scorers that can come in and really light them up, light a team up. But we knew that. See, my biggest beef today is, we know that the Quark Maz is, and nothing against Shake, right? The Shakes of the world, the Quark Maz is, and these players just are not championship quality players. So you can't play them as such. You can't, you got to go back to what your core is and try that. But he refuses to try and play a style that is deliberate, that is, again, and I'll give Brett this, it's not the way the NBA is played, but we don't know. Before we say it just doesn't work, it can't work, you got to play it. You got to try to play differently than everybody else and then see what happens. I'm not telling you that is the panacea for the road to a title. But I hate to use the term, the bully ball term, but again, it goes, every game is the same thing. They don't play that way. They don't. Joe needs to dominate from underneath. Simmons has to have the ball in his hands. And you got to go from there. The minute you start your team with those two guys, you're different. You're different. You're going to pay a lot of money to those guys, and they're going to shape your team. Right? I mean, that's how it works. And so if you have those two, you got to devise a style that accentuates what they do. And that is attacking the rim and playing special defense. You have to play elite defense to win. You can't run up and down the floor. And I watch a team, and they remind me like of an AAU team that has very little plays, that plays no defense, willy-nilly. And I heard Jeff Van Gundy this morning on the morning show, and I disagree with, I mean, listen, they all protect each other. So I know Jeff. I covered Jeff when he was the Knicks. He took over for Riley. But he's going to protect Brett because he's not going to come on and say, wow, you know, so he's going to talk about the lack of talent. And listen, there is a lack of create. He's right to say when he says there's a lack of players that can create their own shot and score. But they haven't played the way. And it's funny because Van Gundy in the 90s played that bully ball style. Now, again, it was more conducive in that league back then, but that's how they played. And the Sixers have to be a throwback team and see if they can compete that way. But this is just not going to work. This is just flat out butt ugly. And again, all roads point back to Brett to somehow figure it out. And Ben at the four is not going to work. I'm telling you right now, not going to work. You got to have the ball in his hands, and you got to attack the rim, and you got to play defense. Their defense is woefully bad. It's amazing. They were seventh in defense before the shutdown. And this team is playing no defense. It's shameful defense, in fact, against bad players. So, you know, that all equals a first-round KO. And that's sad. And I'm kind of beat up. Phillies yesterday, why would you take Nola out? I just don't understand that. It's a good win the first game, right? You survive, and you put up big run, big numbers. And here you have a chance to sweep the Yankees. And I don't know why you take out Nola. Nola was dealing that. The best thing I saw yesterday was Nola on the mound, looking like Nola. Had great stuff yesterday, great movement. But you take him out. And then the other problem that the Phillies have is I look at Rhys Hoskins and I go, dude, you want to play? You got a 3-0 cookie. It's a toll house coming your way. And he looks at it. He takes it. Ugh. He's got to be able to generate runs. He's got to be a run producer. You got to look to hack. You got to look to drive the ball. And without him and no power in the outfield, and right now no power third, You again, there's another thing. With a bullpen and a lack of power, that's a team that can't win. So this is what we're discussing today. Good morning, Tunis.
Hello, Anthony. Interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, not a good day.
No, it was another win, and you go, all right, you know, for the Sixers. Like, all right, they won. It wasn't pretty. I mean, they blew leads constantly. I mean, they pulled away in the fourth quarter, which is good. But again, it's a stinky Wizards team. And you're thinking they never ran away with it until the fourth quarter. Never.
Yeah.
First quarter, they never ran away with it. By the end of the first half, never ran away with it. Right? They go into the first half up 7.
Yeah.
And they never put their foot on the gas pedal. And I'm sure, you know, the Ben Simmons injury changed things in the third quarter. But, you know, I don't know. It's Joel Embiid had a fantastic game again, but didn't really turn it on until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but listen, he's the only bright spot so far.
I know, but
he's come to play.
But is that something with Ben Simmons going out? I know a lot of people were talking about that on social media. Like, oh, wow, look, Joel Embiid, you know, played his best when Ben Simmons was not out there. Stuff like that. You know, people were pointing that out. So, and it goes back to what I was saying yesterday before the game. Ben Simmons, without the ball in his hand, just looks lost. He looks lost. When Shake Milton is out there playing the one, and I was intrigued by the idea because I wanted to see how they would, you know, sort of incorporate Ben Simmons on the offensive end, I'm not seeing any of it. I'm barely seeing any pick and roll game with him as the screener. And when he does, it's kind of like that weak screen just so he can sort of fade back, then they can give it to him and reset the offense again. Like, you know, I was waiting for, and I saw it in the scrimmage games, I was waiting for the moments when Alec Burks has the ball in his hand and Ben Simmons set the screen and then Ben rolls to the cup and then Burks either has the opportunity to, you know, throw it to Simmons at the hoop or pull up for the mid-range jump shot because I know he can hit it. And I saw that stuff in the scrimmages. All of a sudden, I'm not seeing it in the last three games. And I don't get it. I felt very confident in the scrimmages.
Yeah, you know how I feel about the whole situation. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, take the ball out of his hands, you're taking a cape off Superman.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you know, and not to say he's Superman because he's got a lot of work to do.
Yes.
And I told you he'd take a three, though.
Yes, you did.
Too big. Yeah. Too big to make it.
Yeah, I mean, and one
but
of
the that was the, it's a shame. Could you get? I didn't look at it. Can you play that he takes a three?
Oh, as a,
yeah,
on one of the gambling apps. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't think you can. Maybe some offshore one you can.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was, you know, it was just another one of those games where it's like I'm not angry today. Like the other day, I was legitimately upset when they barely won against the Spurs. I don't know. Am I more concerned at this point? Am I more like beaten down? Because they did win and they did eventually pull away and they ended up putting their foot on the gas pedal against a bad team. But I mean, we were talking about before the game yesterday, you and I, we were saying this should be a game where you win by 15 plus.
Yes. Yes.
And it wasn't like you didn't feel that way all game long.
No.
And then the Phillies bullpen is just a disaster.
Well, can I ask you a question about Girardi?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to complain about him because you know we're coming off a Gabe, and I'm excited for Joe. But what's he doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why
he hasn't been great, has he?
No, he hasn't.
He's kind of been quizzical. I don't know.
I don't want to. I'm not going to give the man any excuses, but it is weird.
Yeah,
you have that 8-day layoff,
yes,
and guys miss starts, you know, all kinds of weird stuff happens. So I'm hoping.
I'm not coming down. I'm just kind of pointing out that my expectations were a little different.
But here's the thing against Joe Girardi, it was a 7-inning game. It's not like he was at 88 pitches going into the 7th inning of a 9-inning game. To me, it's so much different. Let him close out the game. Let him pitch all 7. If you go to extras, you go to extras and you go to the bullpen. Yeah. And your offense just screws you that day. Because they did yesterday, I mean, only scoring one run in that second game. But to me, if I'm Joe Girardi, I go, all right, yeah, he's at 88 pitches. I know it's still early in the season, but he's pitched 6 strong of a 7-inning game.
Yeah.
So you know what? Let me give him the 7th. If he goes over 100 pitches, if he gets into some trouble, okay, I go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
But you pull him and, you know, if you're Joe Girardi, do you have any confidence in anyone that you go to?
No.
That's why you got to keep Noel out there. Like, no. Tommy Hunter has a career ERA of 4.10. No, that went up yesterday.
Exactly.
No. You know, the Trevor Kelly got out of it, but he has an ERA of over 5 in his career. Austin Davis pitched in game 1. His ERA is at like 36 this year. Like, what are we doing? And that goes back to Klentak again.
Right.
And but it also goes back to why'd you keep these guys over Liriano?
Well, we've asked that question. We know that answer is money.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and that it is ridiculous because here's the thing. I know nobody wants to go into luxury tax, right? However, if the difference is wins, aren't you spiting yourself? But if you play it up, it's one thing if you're, you know, you don't want, you're nowhere near the luxury tax and your goal is just to save money when you build the franchise. But they are at the threshold, right? They're close to the threshold. And so at that point, it becomes counterproductive not to sign, not to keep Illyriano, who you know is going to be better than this band of slop.
Yeah, last year was his first full season coming out of the bullpen with Pittsburgh. And he was just fine. ERA right around 3 in 60 appearances.
The thing is with Liriano is he's credible.
Yeah.
Right?
None of these guys are.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the problem. That's the problem that we face when we're looking at this whole thing.
Yeah, and then when I hear Hector Neris wasn't available for game 2, I go,
what?
He threw one pitch in game 1.
Yeah.
He threw one pitch.
Yeah.
And now he's not available in game 2?
Yeah. Yeah, go figure.
And it's a 7-inning game, so if you go, you're not going to need a save, because if you win in the bottom of the seventh, you win in the bottom of the seventh. If the team takes the lead, if the Yankees take the lead in the top of the eighth, all right, you still have a chance in the bottom of the eighth. I don't get it, and this bullpen's awful, and you're right. Some of the decisions Drew already made, and I'm not going to start.
The biggest problem, or the co-biggest problem with the bullpen, is just the lack of power.
Yep.
Like, I know you scored 11 in the first game. That's great. You don't have enough power. And if Hoskins, did you see that pitch he took?
Yeah, right down the heart of the plate. And his body language, his reaction to it, and freaked me out. Because that pitch came right down the middle on 3-0. And then it came down right down the middle on 3-1. And that 3-1 pitch, he like kind of put his hands in the air. Like he knew he should have swung.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's looking for walks. And you know what? He ended up walking that at bat. He took another strike, fouled off a few pitches, walked, and he hears, "Oh, what a great at bat!" No, it wasn't, dude. You're Rhys Hoskins. You're in the middle of the lineup here.
Right.
If there's a 3-1 pitch down the middle of the plate, you're swinging.
Right.
And don't take it a strike and then complain to yourself like, "Oh my God, I should have swung." When you're guessing that much on a 3-1 fastball, man, you got some bigger problems right now.
Yep.
Big time.
Yep. And therein lies a huge issue with that.
Big time.
A huge issue. Because you have no power at first and third and 2 outfield spots. You can't win that way. And I love JT to death, but he's a gap hitter. They'll take you out, but I mean, he's a guy that's, to me, a quintessential number 5 hitter.
I like him in the 2-hole. I'd rather have him in the 2-hole than Hoskins.
Well,
but Hoskins gets walks, and
yeah, I mean, I like JT more down. In a great lineup, he hits 6th. In a good lineup, he hits 5th. You get what I'm saying? Well, his skill set.
Yeah, like you say, he's a gap guy.
Yeah, and who can take you out? But again, you know, the between the Sixers and the Phillies, I'll say this to you: TGFF. What's that stand for?
Thank God for the Flyers.
Thank God for Flyers. We'll have them today against Washington at 4 o'clock. Up until then, we will talk about this basketball team. And is there any salvaging? Congratulations to the Union. Great run, man. Shame. Great game last night. Great run for those guys. Cuz Radio with Tunis, we're just getting started on a Thursday.
Sports are back, and I've been taking in all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know, of course, this is Andrew Salchunas, and I've been putting a ton of money down on basketball, hockey, and, of course, baseball. And I hit on our fightins yesterday, but today I'm looking at the orange and black to continue their winning ways in the round-robin tournament. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. The app is super easy to use, and whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to wagering, you'll find what you're looking for in just a few taps. And once you win, FanDuel pays you out in a as little as 24 hours. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. Just place any bet you want and get up to $500 back if you don't win. So type in FanDuel.com/Fanatic to get started so that they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel.com/Fanatic. Again, I'm looking at the orange and black today to solidify one of those top two spots in the Eastern Conference. And I would like to see that with a win today. 21 plus in present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for terms and restrictions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 10:30. Hanging out on a dreary, rainy Thursday across the Delaware Valley. Flyers Caps today, Tunis. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the playoffs, aren't you?
Like, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
How about the Pens?
Yeah, Pens go down.
2-1 right now.
Wow, that shocked me. There's my only NHL losses today.
There goes my, I want to avoid the Pens in round one.
Yeah, well.
I mean, they can still come back.
Listen, they can still come back. I mean, yeah. you know how hockey is.
Yeah, but still, it's like, wow, I have fear. Yeah,
it's a good game. There were some good games. I don't know. See, here's what I expected yesterday for the Sixers. I expected them to do what Boston did to Brooklyn.
Yep.
Right?
Win by like 30?
Yeah. Boston scored 149 yesterday. They outscored the Nets by 9 in the first quarter and by 10 in the second quarter for a 19-point lead. All right?
Yep.
And then they outscored them by 10 in the third, and then all the garbage guys play. That's what I expected them to do to Washington.
Yeah, not to be tied going into the fourth. They were losing going into the fourth.
They were
yeah.
Well, actually, remember they came back at the end of the quarter?
That's right, yeah.
But still, they were down it by as many as 7?
Yeah.
In the third quarter.
It was right after Simmons goes down, and they looked like a mess.
They were up by 7.5, right?
Yeah, because they covered the 6.5.
Right. They were up by 7 at halftime. And they just fall off a cliff in the third quarter. See, that's coaching. I hate to say it, but you can't not be ready to play in the third quarter. Come on now. What are we doing here? This is about winning, Andrew, right? This is about time to win. This is no joke. And they come out, and I'll tell you where I was wrong. I thought that they had come to play. I thought, and the only
they talked themselves up.
The only one who has come to play is Embiid.
Yep.
Embiid's the only one who has come to play.
And Tobias, I would say. He had a little off day yesterday.
No, you're right. Tobias has come to play, too. But the rest of them, I mean, I'm not going to blame the Shakes and the Cork Mods.
Right.
In those cases. But, like, Simmons is on another planet before he gets hurt. Al's still struggling. Jay Rich.
Been playing better since game one.
But he's still he's lost.
He's doing what I basically said the other day. That's why I took the over in his points for game two. When he gets a shot, he's taking it. Because, like, other than that, they're not really setting much up for him. They did at one point in the fourth quarter. They were kind of setting up plays for Harris and Richardson on back-to-back plays. But other than that, it was like, if Josh Richardson had his open shot, he's like, yeah, I'm taking this. Because he didn't know how many touches he's going to get.
Yeah, I know. I mean, come on, dude.
Was one good sign from yesterday.
What was good yesterday?
Al Neto didn't play.
Yes.
That's good.
I mean, here's a real problem facing the Sixers. You know, again, we love his team and we're riding and dying. But faith is teetering.
Teetering or?
Well, actually, yeah, I mean, it's dwindling.
Yeah.
All right, how about that? And it's dwindling and dwindling. And the problem, you can see it in the ratings. You look at Sixer ratings compared to Flyer ratings. Flyers are clearly, they're trouncing them.
Well, then there you go. That was our conversation yesterday. Would it, you know.
Would it manifest itself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then based off that information, looks like yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is where we're at. This is where we're at, man.
And I know Simmons is day-to-day, which is good, but if you miss him, I mean, that's another problem. What is day-to-day when it comes to the Sixers?
He's not playing. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you. He's okay. He'll be okay.
Okay.
He's not playing for the next three games.
Okay.
That's my guess. I'm going to say three.
So we'll see him probably for that Rockets game.
Yeah, maybe you see him the last two. Maybe he plays game six and seven, sits out of the eighth game. Before the playoffs.
And at this point, you're not moving up.
No.
I don't think. I mean, they have one too, but I don't know.
I think the only issue right now for them, or I think what they're looking at right now, is for them to match up with Boston and beat the Celtics in the first round. Yeah, that's what they're hoping, I guess. That's kind of what I feel. And we'll talk about the future coming up. Let's get to the phone lines. Chris has been waiting. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Chris?
Morning, Ant.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man? So I'm with you, man. I feel like this offense is just like an AAU team. They have no plan. It looks like a mess. But I also believe that, you know, I'm glad that Ben Simmons is okay, but I also believe Brett Brown just got lucky. I believe that he's able to fix the mess that he got himself into, putting Ben Simmons in the four without him looking stupid, because now everybody's going to play in their positions. I also believe that now he has to make sure that this whole offense goes through Embiid, and that's it. I don't care about Horford. I don't care about Tobias, because these are only chance we have to do anything.
I agree. I think you're right on, Chris. You got to ride the monster in the middle.
Yep. I think the Ben Simmons injury is going to make it way more simple for him. And I think he needs to stop with all these crazy tactics and just give it to the big guy, man.
So let me ask you a question. What do you do when, because it's only going to be a couple of games, what do you do for the playoffs? Like, what are you going to do? What's he going to do for the playoffs?
That's why I think that, I believe that these games, you're going to see an improved Sixers, especially in the offense, because I think it's going to be more simple. So I believe that he's just probably going to have to bring back Ben Simmons to the point guard. I think that he has to, because if we look better, he's just going to have to do that. I think it's going to be easier for him to do that instead of him, you know, looking dumb and just doing it before the playoffs start.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that's what he has to do. That's what he has to do. I mean,
Embiid is our only shot, man. He is everything. Like, I know Ben Simmons is another superstar, or I guess star, but I think Joel Embiid is better, and I think that we got to stop trying to make everybody happy, and we got to start making Embiid happy. Like, he is our best player, and I know we get away from that.
Now, you know how I feel about Simmons. Embiid is your best player now. Simmons has always been about, you know, what he can be. And, you know, again, this whole season's been, you know, he showed a little bit during the regular season, a little bit more propensity to attack. You know, I guess because he shot the two threes yesterday, that's a good sign. Just give him the damn ball, though. The ball has to be in his hands.
Yes.
And he's got to create. And you got to, they make it so difficult, Chris. So difficult.
I know, man. It's so ridiculous watching this offense, man. It's like, just give it to the big guy, man. And stop having him on the bench so much in the first and last quarter. Like, I don't care why he's always on the bench, but
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Chris, hang in there, my man. Yep. All right, thanks, buddy. Damon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, good morning to you, man. Good morning.
Good morning, Damon. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, man. At least they won because the weather's been kind of funky. I was in Jersey the other day, and I went through that. I got my boys over at Tim Legler's, my son and my nephew, at Tim Legler's camp. They're there right now.
So, wait. So I lost out on the – my kids should be there now, too.
Oh, they
did it last year.
Yeah.
So I go, and I, you know, I talk to Legs all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I tell my wife, great, the Legs camp is on. And she went, well, how are they going to social distance? I go, social distance? You're playing basketball. I go, your kids, you know, it's a bubble.
Yeah.
And whatever, right? I got to try to go the bubble route. She went, absolutely not.
No, she shut it down. Yeah, well, they're testing his wife, Chris. His wife, Chris, is great, man. She helped out.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, so it's good. So here's the thing, man. I'm listening to the morning show. I'm with you. I disagree with Van Gundy. Because what people fail to realize, the way Elton built this team was deliberate. That's deliberate, right? And to your point, no, we don't have great shooters. That doesn't mean we can't have them with this team. But the problem that I'm seeing, cuz, this is a pattern. It's like a theatrical play. The end of, between the last 2 to 3 minutes of a quarter, he does these rotations where he puts these guards in, like the Alec Burks and the Korkmazes, right? So what that does is it takes you out the rhythm. We may have a lead, but see, those guys are getting burned. Then you're not using the young fella. You gotta ride this kid, man. When Ben goes down yesterday, he had to play in most of the fourth. That helped us win because he's a disruptor. That's what he does, Thibel, right?
Yeah.
So I like Shake Milton. I like him. He's confident. I like his three. But here's what he should do with Shake, cuz. You bring him off the bench in the Korkmaz role because then he's more effective. The problem is when you have him start and you have to finish that with him, now I don't have Horford for his defense. I don't have Thibel like I need him. This is a defensive-minded team. It's simple. It's simple. When yesterday, watching Ben prior to the injury, I'm glad he's going to be okay. He played as though he had to fit in. When he has the ball in his hand, he's the playmaker. The entire 2 for 10. It's like he was trying to fit in. That's why he's missing at the rim.
Exactly right. That's why. Do you remember when he makes the switch and I lose? I had a bad day. Remember, I was yelling and screaming.
I remember you asking for help, yes.
And everybody was calling up. I appreciate it. Everybody called up and they were trying to figure out. I had Devon call up because I love Devon. And it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And this was my fear.
Yeah.
That they would play like this. That he would be lost and they would be able to play like this. And all Brett wants to do is, you know, again, I ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing in the finals against the Clippers, what the hell is Shake Milton going to do against Patrick Beverley?
Oh, he's going to get all up in him. He's going to disrupt.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
And nothing against Shake, and I use Shake a lot, but nothing against Shake.
Sure.
He's not a championship quality player.
That's why you bring him off the bench. If you know
that. If you're lucky.
If you notice, when we had J.J. Redick, he ran all these screen plays for J.J. to the other caller's point. That offense needs to go to the big fella. Now he's reading the double teams. He's getting the ball out.
Yes.
The way I've been begging from the play. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Please continue to play in that perimeter. That I don't mind your 10-footer and all that. But you're starting at the post, my brother. Keep it going.
Yes.
So, yeah, man. Because it's. I know how you feel. I think about you when I'm. I'm like, Brad. No.
I know.
You know. I mean.
And listen, I root for the guy. I want the guy to figure it out. But he frustrates the hell out of me because I've had this vision of how they should play since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, man.
You know?
And it's right there.
And they don't play it. And
no,
it drives
it's right
me
there,
insane.
Man. Great show, guys. Continue to have a great day, man. Peace.
Thanks, my brother. Appreciate it. I mean, you and I sat together and watched it, right?
Yeah, and they played to their strengths.
We watched.
Got to the line.
We were together watching that Sixers-Celtics game, feeling strong, right? We sensed it.
Yeah, we're saying, look at this, 55 plus wins.
Yeah.
You play like this. You know, you give Embiid some days off. Horford's going to be a beast when Embiid's down.
Come on.
And no.
It's not that hard.
They didn't play to the strengths.
What do you think about that ruling that my wife gave about the kids? No Legler camp.
I'm sure the kids are bummed.
Well, I didn't tell them.
Oh, okay.
Because
I'm sure you're bummed.
I'm more bummed, yeah.
That you are.
Because Legs hit me up last week. He goes, I don't see the kids' names. I went, yeah, I'm still working on it. And he went, well, let me know. And I gave it one more run. And once again, she said, well, what about social distance? I go, social distance? I'm playing basketball.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, Aunt. I don't know. I don't know what to say because it is such a weird time.
No,
a lot of people playing like literally baseball.
You don't want to rip the tam. I get it, but you know,
Little League baseball is playing, and I don't know.
I know. Tell me about it. And they need to. They need to play.
You set up a one-on-one league.
I got an issue. I got to run this by you too. Uh-oh. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got a real issue. With the two of them. Nikki in Collinsville. Nikki, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Nikki.
Gentlemen. I'd rather be meeting you with the children situation. That's a tough conversation, man. That's always tough.
I know. I mean, I was going to let them play. Now, I don't know. Am I not being diligent enough?
I don't think you would have been practicing what you preach.
If they're just coming to the camp, they're not like staying over.
I get that. Here's the thing. Look, I don't know what I would do. I think the situation has. So you did it last year. How many kids were there?
Well, now Legs she stripped the number down.
Oh, you were right. I remember the conversation you guys had.
The number down. So right. He was doing his part. He was doing his part, but. You know, it's impossible. Whatever, how many kids are there? You're playing basketball.
You either buy in and go. My son or sons are going to go there, or daughters are going to go there, and it is what it is. Or you say, or the answer is no, because at the end of the day, you're going to have. Let's just pick a random number. You're going to have 35 kids down there from all over the Delaware Valley, and you don't know whose parents are working, who parents aren't working.
I'm more impulsive and compulsive, so I want to go. Let's go play ball. And you know, her point is, well, you can wait a year.
Yeah, exactly. Look, if this was senior year and one of your sons had a shot at you know moving on and maybe getting a scholarship, then you have a serious conversation to go. What are we going to do? So anyway, three quick things. Reese is scared.
Oh, totally, yes.
Joe Jean has made more mistakes in his first six games than Cap did in his first six games, in my opinion.
Yeah, what happened to Joe Genius?
He left it in Manhattan, I guess. I guess he wasn't allowed.
I love the guy. Like I want another one. I root for him. Come on, Joe. What are you doing taking all out?
Look, if the back of his uniform, his jersey said Cap on it, And he did what he did, and
Cap would have got ripped.
There'd be, you know, not to be facetious or lighthearted, there'd be a mob going down to Citizen Bank Park.
Yeah, you're right.
And be taking them, you know, to the waterfront.
Yeah, yes, correct.
And look, with Joel, and this goes to what Junis said that he saw on Twitter, Joel better play better in the third when Ben goes out because there's more space. There's more hawking area, you know. There's because Ben seems he just drifts down below and he sits there, and his defender goes, "All right, what am I going to do? Wait, hope he shoots a three? No, I'm going to take four steps off, get closer to the low blocks, and the ball comes inside the Joel. I can do a weak side help. So when Brown's Brett's forced to make changes because he's not going to have 30 minutes of Ben in there in the second half." It, you know, he can find more space down there. Joel is going to roam around like he normally does and dominate down there because there's more active players on the floor.
Correct.
For Brett. So.
Correct.
Now, let me ask you a question. Your buddy, Walkman with spicy mustard and what's his name again? Talks about Ben and the Walk.
Oh, I love that dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny.
Hilarious.
Kenny. Yeah. Kenny from the Northeast.
My question to you and Kenny is, who's in the hotter walk? Is it Reese or Ben right now? I mean, Ben's going to be out for a couple of days, but I'm saying, who looked more lost? Ben or Reese? I mean, it's disgusting what Reese is doing at the plate.
Yeah. I think Reese is actually, Reese is in the walk. Yeah.
Like Chuna said, when he took the 3-1 strike, and he kind of, you know, you could see the body language and what he was talking to himself. He's got, you know, the pitch is going, oh, he's salivating. The pitch is like, let me get the ball back. Let me get the ball back. This dude's lost.
Yeah.
I got him in the walk. We'll get the spatula out and flip him.
Yeah. Walk. Stone walk. Without a doubt. You're dead right about that.
I'm worried. Like you said, all day yesterday. If it's not for the Flyers now, you know, we would be incensed. We'd be so frustrated.
Oh my God! I'd be like, sports started. Go back on vacation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing is it makes a lot of talkative points. Okay, yeah. For all day, every day, but it's internally stressful.
Yeah.
So, peace, fellas.
Peace, my brother. Thanks. Thank you, Nikki. Yeah. Completely stressful. Like, we should be enjoying the comeback. Three games. I haven't enjoyed a second of the Sixers.
Oh, that sucks.
Have you?
No.
Of course not.
Except when Shea hit the three at the end of the first quarter yesterday. Cash.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines. You want to check in? We got Flyer hockey. Don't forget Cousins Corner tonight. Following Flyers hockey. Looking forward to it. Parks Casino will be there tonight. It's Cuz Radio with that man, the Chunis. Hey, let's talk about the long wait's finally over. Golf's first major of the year. It's going on right now. The golfers are in San Francisco. They just teed off and competing for the crown. There's no better way to join the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, to celebrate golf's first major of the year. DraftKings Sportsbook's offering special odds and promotions all weekend long. All new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 every day of the tournament. DraftKings is boosting your profits by 30%. All you got to do is opt in and place a bet. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including player props, day-by-day action, even hole-by-hole live betting. As football season is clear in our sights, don't forget this. DraftKings Sportsbook has rolled out a season-long football pick'em pool. $2 million in prizes up for grabs. Make your picks. Watch the games unfold. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook, safe, secure, reliable betting app. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up for limited time. All new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. DraftKings Sportsbook going all out. Sign up bonus up to $1,000. Enter the code FANATIC when you sign up, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus, first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.